If you have your Bibles, we want to turn to Hebrews and the chapter 2, the portion of God's Word that we read together. Good to see so many out this morning, and we trust the Lord will bless us as we meet around His Word. I want to speak this morning from Hebrews 2, a little phrase that's found there in the verse 3. How shall we escape? And then the phrase, if we neglect so great salvation. Neglecting God's so great salvation. The Bible's open before us. Let's seek the Lord's help at this time. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity of preaching the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. We pray now for help to preach the word You've laid upon our heart. I pray, Father, it indeed will be a word to somebody here this morning who's without Christ, without God, and without hope. And I will bring them to the Lord Jesus. They'll put their faith and trust in the blessed Lamb of God. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your Spirit to help us to preach. We need Your help, Lord, to listen to Thy word and to understand Thy word. We pray You'll give us the gift of the Holy Spirit now and enable us to serve Thee, Lord, with all of our heart. Bless us now, we pray, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Neglecting God's salvation. We can plainly see by the life of the Apostle Paul that he made it his business to preach the gospel of Christ. Now, he himself had proved the truth of the gospel because it was through the gospel, it was through the Lord Jesus Christ that he himself had been saved and brought from darkness into light. Therefore, the Apostle Paul did everything in his power to proclaim this glorious message to everyone. We think in Acts chapter 16 and verse 17, it tells about the Apostle Paul and Silas in Philippi, and a little girl who was possessed with the devil, she said of Paul and Silas, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And here's a girl, when she was confronted with Paul and Silas, she knew why they were in Philippi. They were not there for their own selfish needs. They were not there for sightseeing. But she realized when Paul and Silas came through the gates of that city, they came to show men and women the way of salvation. And his whole life was given over to preach the news about salvation. He had great news to tell. Christ Jesus could save. The Lord Jesus could deliver them from their sins. Therefore, he preached this with all of his heart. And he preached the gospel boldly. You can see the many times in his life that he was persecuted, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was put in prison, but friends, it never put him off. He was more determined than ever to go into the world and preach Christ. And he preached the gospel and the news about salvation boldly. And he preached it clearly. Who could fail to understand the message that Paul preached? He said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. No matter, friends, who he stood before, here was his message. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he was very clear about this. No other message fell from his lips. It was Christ only. He preached it constantly. Follow him in his missionary journeys. Different countries, different cities, different people came before him. But he preached the same message. He preached the gospel. He preached about salvation. He told them how they could be saved. You see, the news about salvation was good news. He didn't keep it to himself. But friends, he went out to preach this. I've been here now 2 years, and that has been my business, by the help of God, to tell people the good news about salvation. Doesn't matter colour or creed, the same message. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So in his life he had the news of salvation. You see, the Apostle Paul saw about the great need of salvation. Oh, that every one of us this morning would be given the spiritual eyes of the Apostle Paul. Because it tells us in Romans 10 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You see, the Apostle Paul preached because he saw the people's great need. They had a need of salvation. He saw their sin. He saw the suffering that lay before them. And that is why he preached the gospel. That's why he told about the way of salvation. He saw their need of salvation. Are there some here this morning? Do you see your need? Do you see this morning before God that you're lost, without God, and without hope? The need of salvation. But our text speaks not about the news about salvation. It does not speak about the need of salvation, but it speaks about the neglect of salvation. How shall we escape? And then he says this, if we neglect so great salvation. And the Apostle Paul's ministry, yes, why, he had this news of salvation, and he saw the need of salvation, that everyone around them needed to be saved. He saw people neglecting God's salvation. Neglecting God's so great salvation. How shall we escape? He said, if we neglect. And in his day and age, there were people, they neglected. They neglected God's salvation. Neglecting God's salvation. I believe it's true of many people in the congregation here this morning. You are neglecting God's salvation. They heard the gospel many, many times. Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher told you about Christ. Then the Bible class. Then the missions. Then the church services. Then the gospel services in this church. And time and time and time again you have heard about Christ and the way of salvation. But you're not saved. You're not saved. Another year has come, our friends, and it will soon be gone. And there's some in this congregation this morning again is neglecting God's salvation. Yes, you've heard it. Yes, dear friends, you understand it. But you're not saved. Not saved. Hearing this great message, knowing what you've got to do to be saved, to come to Christ, and yet you're not saved, and you're neglecting your greatest need, the salvation of your soul. Neglecting God's salvation. I want to speak of this action of neglecting God's salvation. I want to say, first of all, it's an act that is deliberate. You cannot fail to see that the sinner, in neglecting God's so great salvation, that he does it deliberately. Because, dear friends, he has heard about it. He has heard about this great Savior. He has heard about his sin. He has heard about his need. He hears what he must do to be saved. But what does he do? Well, he neglects it deliberately. Deliberately neglects God's so great salvation. I see this in their display of neglect. Their indifference. When they're confronted with the message of the gospel, what do they display? Well, I don't really care attitude. They just, well, shrug their shoulders and say, well, I don't want to listen. I don't want to come to Christ. I don't want to be saved. They treat it, dear friends, the message of salvation as if it is foolishness. As if it is nothing. You see, there's a difference in their neglect. You find that over in Matthew 22 in the great parable, the marriage parable. A great parable tells us about the marriage supper was made, and they were called to the wedding. And it says, and they would not come. And then it says in verse 4, he sends them out again, and says, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Now, what a message. Here was the king's servants going out into the highways and into the byways. And the call went out, come. All things are now ready. Come to Christ. Come to be saved. Well, look at verse 5. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. But you see those words, and they made light of it. That's the same word for neglect that's found in Hebrews 2 verse 3. They made light of it. They mocked the message of God. They neglected it. They said, well, this doesn't mean nothing to us. We don't want to go to the marriage. We don't want to go to the feast. We don't want to go to the palace. It's foolishness. It is nothing. They made light of it. Oh, friends, there are difference. It says in Zechariah 7, verse 11, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. And here's what people do. They stop their ears. They refuse to listen. They neglect God's salvation. Is that what you're doing? Maybe some people here, young people, your parents, is seeking to speak to you about Christ, but you won't listen. The preacher preaches here week in and week out about your need of Christ and to come to the Lord Jesus, but you will not listen. Neglecting God's salvation by their indifference, deliberate action. Some do it, we see the display of their iniquity. They deliberately neglect God's so great salvation. Well, why is this? Well, the reason is because they love their sin. That is why. Because people who come face to face with the gospel of Christ, they know that to be saved, they have to flee from their sin. They have to turn away from their wicked ways, you see. And so what do? Well, they put sin in the place of Christ. The Lord Jesus speaks in Luke 13, verse 27, about workers of iniquity. Paul speaks in Timothy 3, verse 4, about lovers of pleasure. And here are people, and they'll listen to the message. And they're confronted with the gospel of Christ. But they neglect Christ. And they neglect salvation. Why? Because of sin. Is that why you're not saved? You know, if I got saved, I'd had to give up the booze. Had to give up the world. I'd had to give up my friends. And you're neglecting God's salvation. All because of sin. All because you have friends of the pleasure of sin that only lasts for a season. Oh, deliberately, deliberately, you're turning away from Christ. Deliberately all year you have turned your back on the gospel and the offer of salvation. All because of the love of the world. All because of sin. It's deliberate action, perhaps. I see some people also, their intention, because by neglecting salvation, well, they have this intention to get saved sometime. Some other time, well, I'll get right with God. Some other time, I'll turn from my sin. Some other day, well, when a convenient season, as Felix speaks about in Acts 24 and the verse 25, go thy way when I have a convenient season. Well, I will call for thee, and when my convenient season comes, maybe it's when I'm older. Maybe it's when I'll be sick. Maybe when it's on my deathbed, well, I'll come to Christ. That's their intention. So therefore they neglect God's salvation. They seemingly put it up on a shelf and says, well, when I really need it, when I'm about to depart from this world, I'll reach up onto that shelf and I'll look to Christ and I'll accept Christ and I'll trust Him with all of my heart. That's our intention. Is that what you've been doing? You said, all I know shall be saved. I know I should come to Christ, but not now. You've been saying that all year, friends. All year you've heard the gospel preached. Before I ever came about the place, you said the same words. Some other convenient season. Some other time I'll get right with God. Some other time I'll leave the world. I'll leave my sin. I'll come to Christ, you see. Deliberately neglecting God's salvation. Some show their intention. They claim to hope to get it some other time, but just not now. Others will do it with show their ingratitude. Because, friends, it's a great insult to God to neglect His salvation. You see, the Bible says in Nehemiah 9, verse 30, well, speaking of God, for thou art a gracious and a merciful God. He's a gracious God. Now, God has blessed this congregation, and God has blessed this province. And God, in His mercy, has planned that you would hear the gospel. That you would be, in a sense, for many in this congregation, brought up in this church with the Word of God, with godly Sunday school teachers, to be taught the way of salvation. And God, you know, has planned that you would hear the way of salvation and the message of salvation. And God has, in His mercy, offered you the praise of salvation, everlasting life. That if you turn to Christ, He will save you and give you everlasting life. But when you neglect all this, and neglect God's offer of mercy, and neglect God's offer of pardon, well, what are you doing, friends? Well, you are showing your ingratitude to God. You say, Lord, I don't want you. I don't want Christ, you see. Showing your ingratitude to the Lord, friends, in neglecting God's salvation. Hebrews 10, verse 29 says, of people who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant and a holy thing. Trampling over the blood of Christ. You know, the Lord has spared you for another year. God has given you another year of opportunity. Another year of the privilege of hearing the gospel preached in this pulpit. And yet, you are still neglecting God's salvation. Still, dear friends, turning away from Christ. Still not turning from your sin. Neglecting God's salvation. It's an action that is deliberate. And dear friends, our man in this congregation knows that. Maybe you're saying, I wish this sermon was soon over. Till I get out. Till I turn my back again on Christ. Till I get back into the world and into sin. I don't want Christ. I know it's the last day of the year. But I have other things planned for 2007. And being saved is not in the plans. Is that you today? Neglecting God's salvation deliberately. Deliberately. Your ingratitude to God. Your intention. Your iniquity. Your indifference. All these things are displayed on the person who deliberately rejects God's so great salvation. Is that what you're doing, young person? Older person in the meeting. Neglecting God's salvation. It's an action, can I say, that is shows their disobedience. You see, when a sinner neglects the gospel time and time again, it is sin. And it is disobedience against the Lord. They are disobeying, can I say, the command of the gospel. Now, what is the command of the gospel? Now, I think of Christ appearing on the scene in the early days of His ministry. And it tells us in Mark 1 and verse 15, and He went out and He preached, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And here's what He said. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And that was from the lips of Christ. No matter, dear friends, where He went to, and no matter what people stood before Him, this was His message. And He preached with power, and He preached it plainly to everyone who came before Him. And He says, repent ye and believe the gospel. And when one does not be saved, well, they are being disobedient to the command of the gospel. The command of the gospel is very clear. Sinners are to repent They are to repent. That means to turn around, to think differently. They are to turn away from their sin on to God. As Dr. Lloyd-Jones says, the first reason for leaving sin is that God commands me to do so. And you can read the Bible. That has always been the message of God. The call from the Lord through His prophets to the people was always the same. It was this, to repent. It was to take people away from their sin. And it was a call upon people to turn away from their sin. Now that is the gospel command. But it has always been there. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, the Lord says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. That was the message of the Lord. God is saying through to his people, through the prophet, that they would turn away. That they would turn away from their wicked ways. And he says, turn ye from your evil ways. This is the command of the gospel. To turn away from sin. And friends, if a person does not then turn away, if you go on in your sin and rebellion against God, then that's an act of disobedience. You are disobeying the command of the gospel. It is to repent. You're disobeying God. And you're not saved. And you're neglecting God's salvation. Disobeying God is sin. Also, not only to repent, but to believe the gospel. Because the Lord Jesus went on to preach about believing the gospel. Now, believing the gospel is very, very simple. It means to believe in Christ to be saved. Remember the Apostle Paul and Silas there in that Philippian jail, and the man came in and he says, what? What must I do to be saved? Well, there's only one message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust Christ with all of your heart and you'll be saved. Friends, that is the command of the gospel. To believe in Christ. To turn away from your sins and to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. And to depend on no righteousness of your own. And to depend on no other person. And to depend on no other church. Nothing but Christ. This is the command of the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Now when you neglect the gospel, you are disobeying God. That's the message. This is the command of the Lord to all people. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The command of the gospel. You're disobeying. You're disobeying. Now imagine your boss at work. He puts out certain commandments and tells you what you are to do and simple jobs. Now if you don't do them, well, you're disobeying them. Or if your parents have different laws, they say, I want you to do this, and I want you to go there, and well, and you disobey them, well, you're just, that is wrong. And it's the same with God. Don't think, friends, it's only a light thing to disobey the gospel. Don't think it is nothing in the sight of God to come to this church, or to go to another meeting somewhere else, and to hear the message of the gospel, and then to neglect it, and think, well, it's really nothing. As you'll find out, it's a very serious thing. Terrible sin in the sight of God. To neglect the offer of mercy that's found in Christ, and to keep on going on in your sin and rebellion in the world, it's a terrible thing. Disobeying the gospel is disobedience. It is sin. Also, not only can I say it's disobedience to the command of the gospel, but to the Christ of the gospel. Salvation is embracing the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. Now, when you neglect to do that, you are turning your back on the Savior of the world. And that, friends, is a terrible sin. You see, it is a sin not to love Christ. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. That's the word of God. Anyone loves not Christ, I ask you this morning, do you love Christ? Do you love the world? Do you love sin? And if you don't love Christ, there's a great curse upon you, friends. You see, we are to love Christ. We are to receive Christ. In John 1 verse 11 talks about the Lord Jesus coming into the world. He said he came unto his own and his own received him not. Now, it talked there about people not receiving Christ. But you see, salvation is just receiving the Lord Jesus. It is a sin not to believe on the Lord Jesus, because in Acts 16, or John 16 verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me. It's a sin. It's a sin against the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're neglecting God's salvation here this morning, then you are sinning against Christ. Because you are to love Him. You are to receive Him. You are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by neglecting, it's disobedience against Christ. It's disobedience against Him. And all His love and all His mercy that He displays towards sinners. And it's disobedience against the call of the gospel. See, the call of the gospel is very simple and very clear. In Matthew 11 verse 28, the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Some of the greatest texts in the Bible are the invitations of God. I love preaching gospel invitations. For some reason, I just love them. This text, other texts. I love preaching on the invitations of God to sinners. Come unto me. That's the words, not of a preacher, not dear friends of this denomination. It's the words of Christ. And He says, come unto me. Do you hear His voice this morning? Come to me. Turn away from your sin. Come to me and I will give you rest. And I will give you everlasting life. But you're neglecting. You're not listening. They're not coming to Christ. They're not turning from the world. They're not, friends, turning from their sin. You are neglecting God's salvation. Therefore, disobedience to the call of the gospel. And Hebrews 4 verse 7. It says, today after so long a time, today if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. But people do. I know people who's not saved. And they know they should come to Christ. And they hear His voice. And they harden their hearts. And in a sense, well, they dig their heels in. And they say, well, maybe some other time I'll come to Christ. Some other time I'll turn away from my sin. And yet the Savior calls, come, come unto me. And yet you go on past, friends. You stop your ears, as I said previously in a point. You will not listen. And you harden your hearts. Friends, neglecting the gospel is an act of disobedience. And make no mistake about that. God hasn't set the gospel to be preached in this pulpit to your ears and to your heart for year after year after year after year for you to neglect it. For you to neglect it and to turn away from it. Friends, are you disobedient? If you're not saved, you are. Disobeying the command of the gospel, the Christ of the gospel, the call of the gospel. Oh, it's an act of disobedience. And that's what you've been doing, just like this last year. Every day you've come, Lord's Day or night, whatever it may be, confronted with the message of salvation. But you're still neglecting it. Still turning your back on Christ. It's disobedience. It is sin. A great sin. A grievous sin that's committed against the Lord. But can I say lastly, it's an act that is dangerous. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's a dangerous action. It's a terrible thing for a man or a woman or a young person who knows their way of salvation and knows he has to come to Christ, and yet they go on and on without Christ. That's a very dangerous thing. It's dangerous because of sudden death. Death could come and take any one of us away without warning. I'm sure you heard in the news about a man in Bessbrook the other night. I knew that man. Boxing night. Fire broke out in his house and he went up the stairs to try to put it out, overcome by the smoke, and was dead. Friends, he didn't plan that. Suddenly, he had his Christmas with his dear mother and his Boxing Day with his dear mother in the home. And friends, before it was all over, that very night, he was gone. And he was taken out of the scene of time suddenly. And so can you. You see, friends, you're living dangerously. Living at the edge. Death could come at any time. In Luke 12, verse 20, the Lord said to that man, "Because of thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. But this very night, you'll be dead." What happens this night? You're looking forward to a new year. You mightn't even see it. Imagine. How you saying, "No, it'll happen to somebody else." Aye, friends, but it can happen to you. Neglecting God's salvation is a dangerous action. Death can come and death can take you suddenly away. If you were seriously ill, would it not be dangerous for you to neglect phoning for the doctor? Would you not just lie on, "Oh, well, I'll be all right, I'll maybe get better," and the next day, "Well, I'll get better, maybe things will pick up," and you're getting worse and worse, and would it be very dangerous? If the house was on fire and you neglected to call the fire brigade, wouldn't it be dangerous? It's dangerous not to be saved. Not to be saved, not to be right with God. Friends, it's dangerous because of sudden death. Death can come suddenly upon you and take you away. And no doubt this day is the last day in this country for many people. You can get the paper. You'll find tomorrow that there are people died today. This day, maybe they had their plans all for next year, 2007, where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. But friends, death came today. And they're gone. It's very dangerous not to be saved. Friends, it's a dangerous action. Dicing with death. It's also dangerous because of the Savior's departure. In Genesis 6, verse 3, "Lord, my spirit shall always strive with man." People think they'll get saved in their time. Listen, if you don't get saved in God's time, you will never be saved at all. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And God says to any in this meeting who knows the way of salvation, "I will not always strive with you. I will not always be dealing with your heart. I will not always be giving you opportunities." You can be sure of that. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." You see, friends, it's dangerous. He withdraws his mercy. In Isaiah 4, verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. "Let him alone." Just let them alone, he says. But before that, God sent his prophets. God sent the ministry of his word. But it just came. God said, "Well, just let them alone. Let them alone." God can do that with you. He can withdraw his mercy, his messengers. You think of Paul and Silas in the wax bold, Acts 13, verse 46. He said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you have put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." You see what was happening? He preached to them till he was nearly blue in the face, and he told them about their need of Christ and what they must do, but they wouldn't listen. They neglected. He says, "Okay," he says, "we're getting out of here. We're going to the Gentiles." And God can do that. God can withdraw his messages. It's dangerous, friends, because of soul's damnation. You see, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, the answer is very simple. There's no escape. Hell is before the Christ rejecter. And make no mistake of that.
Neglecting God's salvation is dangerous. And I say this because hell is full of people. Full of them. Who heard the gospel. Who knew the gospel. Who were called to believe the gospel and to come to Christ, but they never were saved. They neglected and they neglected and they neglected God's salvation.
It's too late. Hell is full of them. But I could tell you story after story. I think of one particular man speaking to him and saying, listen, if you go on the way you're going to die. And you're going to go to hell. And he said to me, I know. He says, I know. I know, he said. And friends, it wasn't too long after that, a matter of months, death came and took him away. But he knew. Now, it's not for me to say how he finished. But it looked like he didn't get saved. Is he neglecting? He says, I know. I know, he says. But oh, friends, do you see this morning how dangerous it is not to be saved? Do you see how dangerous it is to keep on neglecting God's salvation? It's dangerous. Just because you've heard the gospel. Just because you say, well, I understand the gospel. Just because you're brought up in the free church and just because you have a Bible doesn't mean you'll be in heaven. Friends, you must be saved. And if you've been neglecting God's salvation, I urge you to turn. I urge you to turn this morning with all my heart and come to Christ. Trust Him. So I'm not neglecting this matter any longer. Death could come. I could be lost. I could find myself in hell forever and forever and forever being tormented and being punished for my sins. Come to Christ. You've neglected for another year. What's another year living in the world going to do for you? What's another year going to do living in sin, friends? Nothing. But come to Christ today. I urge you to turn. If I can any help you, Mr. Mercer, we'll be delighted to speak with you. To speak with us at the door. Said to the mother this morning, behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. No better time, even at the end of this year, to close in with Christ and to come to Christ with all of your heart. May God give you the grace to turn to the interest of Him. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your help. We pray that many here has heard not the voice of the preacher, but they've heard your voice. You show the unsaved the danger that they're in. Lord, going on through life, living in sin, neglecting Christ. Give them the grace to turn today from their sins. Let them come and put their faith in the Lord Jesus, who promises, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Be with us now, Lord. Take us our homes in safety. Bless us again tonight as we meet in thy house to worship and to praise the God of our salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.